Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Get more points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiver, soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Gonna pull one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
With Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it. It's there. Hartman. Jackpot. Kansas City.
On the Odyssey app.
Hate me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080. The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome into Football Sunday right here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2 on YouTube and Twitch for the kids. I am Joe Fisher. Across from the foam marble table is Rashawn Taylor.
Hey-o. I got to find a morning thing. Like, I got to find something to say.
Zip it up and zip it out.
Go ahead and cut it out. Bye-bye.
And Jordan Schultz behind the glass.
I saw somebody make marble on a cake last night watching these Christmas baking shows.
You say
you must have been up late.
Marble marble?
Marble, like a faux marble look, like a faux table or
is it cake?
Counter.
One of those things?
It wasn't Is It Cake, but the holiday edition on Netflix was pretty good. My wife and I watched those four episodes hosted by Mikey Day, and we were watching one of the other HBO Max baking shows. I think it was like Holiday Baking Championship.
I thought you might have got caught looking at something on your phone, like a rabbit hole. Have you guys ever like been on your phone and seen those videos of like, and they're obviously in super, super, you know, they're going fast and everything for the videos, all fast forwarded and stuff, but where somebody's like making a fort or making an underground bunker or, you know,
in like a cabin in the woods or something.
They're in the forest and they just happen to make this cool hot tub or something like that, you know, out of the ground and just with nothing more than mud and a spoon.
Yeah, there's that one dude on YouTube who does that where he builds all sorts of crap through the woods, like you were saying, like mud and clay and sticks and stones. And
he just uses the earth.
Up on your phone, scrolling through the, you know, the vids and stuff like that. If you're on TikTok and you're seeing these things, like, man, I can spend hours at night doing that, especially if I can't sleep or something like that.
Oh, it's dangerous.
That's why I figure, like, oh, you were up late on your phone. And
it's a dangerous spot to be. That's why I've been trying to do this thing lately. I don't know if you've heard of it. Watch movies. I mean,
tell me about that.
It's pretty interesting. It's like one of those TikToks or Instagram reels, but longer.
like an hour and a half.
Get out of town.
I know, right? Like,
that's crazy.
Too much time.
That's crazy.
That's too much time on just one video.
What's the last great movie you guys have seen? Like, been to the theater, paid money to see. Like, what's
been
the last,
to the theater?
Last great. Like, I go to the theater often. That's my happy.
See, I need to take the girl to the theater. She recently let me know that she loves going to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
And so once, like, she expressed some serious, like, joy, like an emotion that I haven't seen out of her about that. And I was just like, all right, well, I guess I got to take her to the movie sometime soon. In the theater, God, I can't remember the last theater movie I went and saw, quite honestly. I'm really trying to think about it. It's been well
been
over
that
a
long,
year.
Huh?
Yeah, the theater's an antique, man. Shoot.
Now that's kind of more of the reason why I still like to go. Like, it's almost vintage.
I got the offer to go to Moana 2 a couple weeks ago, but it was on a Saturday at like 11 a.m. for a 5-year-old's birthday party, and I was like, listen, if I have to wake up on a Saturday morning to go to a dark room at 11 a.m. on a Saturday, I'm falling asleep in that dark room.
Up.
I don't care what's happening on that screen. Like, I'm passing out.
I don't know, man. There's something. We all love our big TVs, right? You know, that's how we enjoy.
Now, 65-inch OLED, and, you know, baby.
Absolutely. And if you have anything, now at this point, if you don't have...
With my Bose system.
Anything over 60, it's like, what are we doing, man? What are we doing with life? Like, don't invite anybody over for any games or any UFC or anything like that. If you... Like, it's one of those things. And, like, a 50-inch TV is still really nice, right? But still, we live in this day and age where TVs are so easy to get and everything. However, there's still nothing better than... being in the theater,
that liquid pot, butter.
There's nothing better than that. Just the regular butter just doesn't do it justice at home for whatever reason. But the with the surround sound and everything and the big screen, like going to the movies is still super dope. I went and saw Gladiator 2 a couple weeks ago.
See, that's the one that my girlfriend wanted to go to one of those living room movie theaters.
That would be dope.
Like I know there's one on.
Can't we just stay in our living room for that?
Exactly. Like, we don't have to pay for that. Yeah. Just wait a month or two and it will be on a streaming service. And that, I mean, that's the one that she wanted to go see.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a good movie.
I had to make a confession to her. I was like, I haven't even seen Gladiator 1.
Ooh. Well, I mean,
that was a couple weeks ago. And quite honestly, I was like, let's watch it. Let's watch Gladiator. It's been on my watch list for God knows how long. And, it was all right.
Yeah, I figure going back and seeing that movie now, if you've never seen it before, like CGI and some of that stuff that they used back then.
It wasn't so much like, that. It was just very like, oh, yeah, this scene. I've heard about this. And like, oh, yeah, this. And also.
Are you not entertained? Like, you know
I was
the
like,
lines and stuff
ruins
like
it
that.
When Russell Crowe asked me that, I was like, I guess so. I mean, I guess I'm entertained. Like, it was a solid flick, but also I was still very much like, okay, all right.
I can check it off the list. I can imagine, you know, feeling like that the first time seeing something, especially a movie that came out 20, 30 years ago or whatever.
I'm going way back here. The best movie that I saw last where I enjoyed, like, the experience and I walked out of the theater satisfied, probably Superbad, back in, like, 07. Like, this is freshman year of college. Right after I got out of high school, just trying to, you know, like... find some people to hang out with, and we decided to go see Superbad. There was like five of us, and we all walked out just dying laughing.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't remember any feeling since
I saw
then.
That opening night. I remember it.
This begs the question, and I leave it to you guys and the text line, 503-864-6326. Gosh, I feel like I haven't said that number in a
six
while.
Fan. Just say six fan.
Yeah, right.
6-3.
My God. What's going on? For the listeners out there, one, you can text us and let us know if we sound like a chipmunk. I don't think we do. I think that's just the ESPN problem. Yeah, 503-864-6326. What's the best movie theater experience you ever had? Because I think I have two that come to mind for me.
And no, it doesn't involve mm-hmming in the back row. Those don't count.
Wow.
What? I knew somebody was going to be like, well, you know, we went to watch the movie and we didn't really watch
it. Not those movie theaters, Jordan, okay?
I wasn't talking about Fred Willard's favorite movie theaters, rest in peace.
Not the Pee Wee Herman.
I was talking about normal ones.
Well, that takes out a bunch of my experiences, Dan.
See, thank you.
If we're being, you know, because, yeah, that's some of that dark room has to come in handy at some point for someone.
I'll go three movies. And I'll go from 3 to 1 here. Transformers, the first one.
Okay. Ooh.
Watching that when that came out on the big screen, that was an awesome experience. The second one, because I would say it just caught me off guard with how funny it was, and me and my buddies just dying in that theater. The Other Guys.
Great movie. I also saw that.
Because going into it, you're like, Mark Wahlberg, Will Ferrell, like, all right, they're cops, I guess. We'll see how this goes.
Woo.
Classic. Just classic comedy. And then the number one movie theater experience I ever had was watching the first Jackass movie when it came out.
With your buddies, yeah.
I went with my best friend and his dad, and as we're sitting in there in the theater getting ready, and it was a really full theater. So that's the other thing. When you have like a theater full of people and everybody's laughing together, enjoying it, like that kind of adds to it. But we're sitting there getting ready for it, and then walking up to the row in front of us is my dad, my sister, and her friend. And we're like,
hey, guys.
This is awkward. Hey, well,
there's also been some very awkward moments at the movie theater.
So, yeah, my dad couldn't really get mad at me or my friend's dad for taking us to see this movie because there he was with my sister and her friends.
Yeah. As far as top three experiences, shoot, man. I know Superbad is... I don't want to say it's on there, but just that whole night, like it's one of the more memorable nights that I've had in my life and everything.
I touched her boob.
No, the date was going really well, and then like I talked to another girl at a bar, and she ended up leaving, but she had like a bunch of my stuff, and it was the weirdest night. But I remember it vividly because there were two seats in the theater left for Superbad. It was completely packed. We went downtown, and we had to sit in the very front row.
Oof.
Oh, it was terrible. However,
neck the problems
movie,
to this day.
The movie was so good that I didn't care. That was awesome. Two would probably be The Lost Boys is my favorite movie of all time. If you've never
seen
The
Lost Boys,
The Lost Boys, man. Kiefer Sullivan, Jason Patrick,
Sutherland,
the Corey, the two Coreys.
1987.
Absolutely, man. This is my favorite movie. My mom took me.
You
to
saw
see
that in theaters?
I did at the Lloyd Center Theater.
How old are you?
One of Kiefer's first American movies.
Yeah, that was the Kiefer's next movie after Stand By Me. You know,
yes, sir. Okay.
Based,
yeah,
that's supposed to be based around Portland. You know, so
Stand By Me. Yes, yeah. It was.
And then number one is How High. Man, freshman year of college.
That is
me and all my buddies.
Get them
super, super stoned. Sorry, mom. That was the like as far as stoner movies of like the, you know, 99 through like the 2000s and everything like that. That's the one.
Did either of y'all go out and see Oppenheimer or Barbie last summer during the craze? Because I did
see Oppenheimer. I didn't want to sit in the theater for 3 hours.
So
I can't remember the last theater movie I saw in theaters. It was probably something with my son, is my guess. But I don't know.
I made a point. My wife and I, we kind of were like, okay, let's like go try this again. You know, see if it's any good. Like this is kind of one of the biggest movie releases. You know, multiple movies, obviously. Barbie and Oppenheimer, I think, were on the same night in a long time in movie lore. I hated it.
You
know what?
It's
Oppenheimer itself wasn't terrible. It was boring. I didn't like sitting in the movie theater for 3 hours. Wished I would have waited till it was on my big screen. I got an 82 inch at home.
3 hours. Like, it was so boring.
But then also just the insufferability of all the people dressed up in Barbie clothes and everybody running around like a freaking just. It was a madhouse.
The Barbie movie.
Like, they were all. I was watching 30 year old women act 10. And it was not a fun experience. And I used to dress up for Harry Potter premieres.
I was going
to
say, I remember the Harry Potter premiere, too.
That was just as annoying.
That was an ordeal. Yeah, I remember
it was.
One guy dressed up as Harry Potter and making a scene the entire time leading up to the movie.
It's like, get the hell out, dude.
Yeah, I guess I got to go to the theater here soon. You know, I always love.
You really don't.
I love the sneaking in.
Wait for something.
Snacks and stuff. Yeah, and see, that's the thing. And my girlfriend and I, we've had this conversation recently, is that I am extremely picky with movies. Like, it is very hard for me to choose movie. And there's got to be like, I need like a PowerPoint presentation on why I should watch this movie.
There are only a few things that can get me to the movies. It's Marvel, nostalgia. Like, so they've redone a movie like from back then, or they've, you know, they've the new adaptation to whatever. Like, okay, I might, you know, go ahead and check that out. And then like star power. Denzel happens to be in Gladiator 2. Okay, well, I got to see that in the theater, you know.
Like, just playing himself.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, he killed that role, but, you know, it's like...
Nominated for a Golden Globe.
You know, there's only a few. Do the Golden Globes matter?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a Golden Globe or an Emmy. I forget which one it was.
Emmy is TV shows and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
They're all given by stuffy groups of like 20 people.
But like, do they matter? Like, you know, we talk about like Grammys, Emmys, all this. Like, does Golden Globes like
a little bit? Not as much as they used to, but they still have, you know, some sway over, you know, what's good and what's not.
I haven't even seen half the movies that are nominated for stuff.
I saw a movie that. Before the nominations came out, me and my girlfriend watched it called The Substance. Have you heard of this?
No.
Oh, my God. It's Demi Moore, isn't it?
Ooh. Really? She's still acting?
Yeah. One of her finer roles, I would say. I think she might have been nominated for Best Actress for in the Golden Globes for this. But
well, I'd still enjoy a night out with her.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing is that the premise is she's like a older Hollywood star that has like a workout show. But she overhears the production company manager basically saying like, we need someone younger. We need someone sexier. And then she finds out about this thing called The Substance, where it basically is like, we can create a younger, more beautiful you, but it is a second you.
Oh,
oh God.
But always remember, you are one, and there is a balance. So you basically get to be 7 days as you, and then 7 days as the younger, sexier, hotter version of you.
Weird.
And... you can imagine how off the rails that can go quickly, right?
Because you don't control the other one while you're the one, right?
Oh, you are. Yeah, you're both. I mean, it is you. But then you look in the mirror and you're like, whoa, this is, I'm much hotter and I'm like 20-something. I like this. And then you got to go back into your older version of you and you're like, oh, this isn't as fun. Yeah, exactly.
You don't want the break.
Absolute wild movie. But that was nominated. I saw me and the girlfriend watch that, and then that got nominated for a Golden Globe. So I felt like, I was like, all right, we got some good taste here. Okay. We know what to watch.
Yeah, well, I'll check out The Substance, man. Let's see how that goes.
And then to get me in the Christmas spirit last night, I watched one of the most depressing movies of all time, The Road. Have you heard of that?
I have not.
With Viggo Mortensen?
I don't think I've heard of that.
If it's with Viggo Mortensen, it's... bound to be kind of sad.
It's not the one where he like lives in like a camper like with his kids out in like bum F Eastern Oregon, right?
Him and his son are just basically in a post-apocalyptic world.
Oh God.
You know, just trying to
stay alive.
Yeah. Just trying to find something to live for. Yeah. Exactly. Really, really cheery, really optimistic movie.
Yeah, I watched Dear Satan the other day with Jack Black.
Now that's a Christmas movie.
It actually is. It's a Christmas movie about, you
because
know,
a kid is
dyslexic, which is kind of sad, and writes a letter to Santa, but spells it Satan, which are the same words, same letters, you know, wasn't super, super wrong. You know, I can see how somebody could, you know, mess some stuff up, and Satan shows up instead of Santa. It was actually pretty funny in some regards.
Worst movie that I've ever watched, scariest experience, like just kind of out of the blue, like was not expecting it. Buried, starring Ryan Reynolds. It's like a I think 2009, 10 or 11.
Bars on his phone left and stuff.
Well,
that.
Yeah, like, basically he's like crazy. He wakes up in a coffin, essentially buried alive in the middle of Iraq. He was a part of like a convoy, you know, doing like he was a civilian as a part of a military convoy.
Boy, that budget
deliveries.
Must have been low.
Oh, it was very low, but it's it was like, still.
We just need to build a box.
Like Phone Booth?
Yeah, it was like a really, really cheap version of Phone Booth starring Ryan Reynolds, but it was scary, it was awful, it was terrifying, what? The end sucked.
What's the setting? Literally just a box.
A box.
Which is, all we need,
which,
guys.
If you think about it, is
And
terrifying.
A phone.
If you think about it, is terrifying.
And Ryan Reynolds, you know, did it well.
Like, yeah.
But never
That's
again.
All we need, a box and you're buried alive. Oh my God, anxiety, like.
Proves how good of an actor he is, I will say that. But the movie itself is, oh my God.
Amityville Horror, awesome.
All right, let's get into some football stuff. One, kind of, you know, while it was cool yesterday with the Army and Navy game, it does also, like...
damn over, though.
It does denote, like, we're towards the end of the season, right? So... that is the only sad part about that Saturday of non-college football. But there was one thing that happened in college football that I want to get to. There was something this week that happened in college football that I want to talk about as well. Also, is bowl season officially dead? And then in hour two, we're getting into some NFL stuff. We might have a new leader and most embarrassing moment of the NFL season. Also want to talk about some of these week 15 matchups, because there's a lot of good games and a few of them have playoff implications. And I have some percentages as far as wins, losses, like if this team wins, what their playoff chances look like. If this team loses, what their playoff chances looks like. And then we do who do you love in the back half of the second hour. But let's get into it. I think we all need to make an apology to one team and one man in college football. We do that next here. Football Sunday. Joe Fisher, Rashad Taylor, 1080 The Fan. Football Sunday here, 1080 The Fan. Thank you for anybody that's out there listening at 8:20 a.m. on a Sunday morning. We're going to turn it down a notch here this morning.
It is super early.
Give you some Luther Vandross.
We love you guys, and we love some foosball, so it's all good.
Whoa! I pull up the YouTube stream. We already got three messages on the YouTube stream. Oh, my God. What is going on?
Look at us. Stop traffic.
Someone's saying they went to Star Wars Attack of the Clones, and my friend accidentally walked into the wrong theater right as the Yoda lightsaber scene started.
Oh.
Oh, so we saw it before he had seen everything else.
Yeah, I'm not a Star Wars guy, so I don't know how the whole transgression of events happens.
I'm assuming in the second one, I think that's where Yoda had his first lightsaber duel ever, like in any of the movies. So it was a big deal, and nobody had really known. They kind of snuck it in, so because social media didn't exist like it did now. So.
Gotcha. And then Zach from Portland on the text line saying that the liquid butter is actually butter flavored oil. And that's where I said, whatever it is, just straight into my veins. I don't care what it is.
Seriously. I wish it were real butter.
I don't care. Butter flavored oil. That real, S is magnificent.
That real butter is great. But man, I'm telling you, whatever that is at the theater, that's a win.
Yes.
That's a win.
All right, let me pull this up here, because I want to get a certain year in mind here. I want to go in the Wayback Machine. All right, let's go back to 2014, just 10 years ago. We're sitting here watching the Ducks win the Pac-12, dominant. College football is what it is at 2014 at that point. And then I lean over to you, Rashad. I lean over to you, Jordan. I said, like, hey, you see that 2-10 Colorado team?
Yeah, what about them?
They're going to have a Heisman winner in 10 years. What's your response to that?
Oh, man.
Because
put down that bottle, buddy.
Because like Colorado, and listen, I have some experience with Colorado, because before I went to Oregon, I was like a lost dog looking for a home. I didn't have a favorite college team. I liked USC for a couple years. With Reggie Bush and Matt Leiner. And then as soon as they left and started losing to Oregon State every other year, I was like, okay, I'm jumping off this train.
Fair enough.
No, thank you. And then I wanted a team with some tradition, a team with some kind of, I don't know, some, I don't know what it was about Colorado. I think it was maybe like the blackout games that they had, the fact that they have an effing buffalo run onto the field before the game.
Who's ever seen a buffalo before? Colorado fans.
I have seen a buffalo before, but I mean, a buffalo running out and onto a field before a football game. I mean, come on.
I'm just saying buffaloes. We just don't see a bunch of like a herd of buffalo anywhere.
No.
So Colorado fans see them pretty often.
Yes. And so I liked Colorado for, I think that lasted a season or two, because I was like, oh my God, this team and this program are trash. And first couple years in the Pac-12, they didn't win more than four games. And here we are 10 years later. And I know last year they went 4-8. But, I mean, we need to give credit where credit is due. Colorado went 9-3 this year, had a great season, and they have a Heisman-winning player. Not just a quarterback either. A wide receiver, cornerback, like... I think there was a lot of us, too, that when we heard that, like, you're going to have a guy play both sides of the ball, like, nobody does that anymore. And here he is winning the Heisman. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, tip of the cap, and I think apologies are needed, because only two seasons into the Colorado tenure, and Deion has got this team at a 9-3 record, and a Heisman-winning player at Colorado.
We have to,
that's wild.
We have to appreciate, number one, what we're seeing. And I've talked about this before when we talk about great players that become coaches. Sometimes being great on the field or on the court, on the ice, doesn't necessarily equate to being a great coach, right? And being a great teacher of information and things like that. Deion Sanders was widely kind of recognized as the greatest defensive back of all time. I think most people probably would say if he's not the greatest, then Deion is in that conversation of top three or four. I think everybody here would agree. If he's not your number one, there's other guys, Rod Woodson, like, okay, whatever. There's other answers there that you could use. But Deion is definitely in the conversation of top three and four. What he did at Jackson State, for a lot of people, they looked at that as like, well, it's an HBCU. And he got a son there. Remember, Shador was highly rated as a quarterback coming out of high school. And he got, oh, well, he's only doing that because he got one of the best players in the nation. And then they get Travis Hunter, the number one player in the nation, and they completely run the board. They do some amazing things that have never been done in HBCUs. Fast forward the next year, everybody crapped on Deion. Four wins, oh, he's supposed to be better. Yeah, this ain't Jackson State. This isn't playing. You're not playing against Grambling or all the, okay. Deion made some adjustments, went and hired some other guys, and what do you know? They won, was it 9 games this year?
9-3.
9-3 this year. You have a quarterback that potentially probably should have been in that conversation for Heisman. Like, Shador said it himself, but Shador probably should have been in that conversation for Heisman.
Yeah, he was 8th place.
But we're looking at a guy in Travis Hunter that played both sides of the ball and really, in some regards, put up some close to Rod Woodson, or not Rod Woodson, excuse me, Charles Woodson-esque stats, you know, as a two-way player in college. Something we haven't seen since he won the Heisman at Michigan 30 years ago, you know, whenever that was that Charles Woodson won that. So tip of the cap to Deion for what he's been able to do with the conference move to the Big 12, which, albeit not as strong as it once was with the loss of Texas and the loss of, you know, some other schools. So, but still, like, for him to do what he's done, for him to coach up that team that was a laughing stock in the Pac-12, a laughing stock, wasn't winning any games. I think they won one game before Deion got there.
They had one season where I remember, because I want to say they faced the Ducks in the Pac-12 championship. That was 2016, 10-4 that year. But outside of that, I mean, again,
outside of that, the last time they were relevant was when Oregon ran over them in the Fiesta Bowl, like in 2001 or something like that. Like, that was the last time Colorado was really like considered one of those ones. And so Deion gave a facelift to a program that has never had the attention of the country really since for maybe 20, 30 years.
Yeah, I mean, say what you want, you know, that this award, it could have gone to Ashton Gentry as well. You know, I mean, it was pretty close as far as,
I think,
you know,
he was super confident he was going to win, too.
Who, Ashton Gentry?
Yeah.
I mean, got to have confidence in yourself, I guess. But I feel like if you got common sense and you just look at, like, the Vegas boards and betting lines, like, leading up to it, it was Travis Hunter was by far and away the favorite to win this.
Something we hadn't seen. Makes sense.
Well, and the last non-quarterback that we had was 2020 with Devontae Smith, and that was a weird year with it being the COVID year. So I felt like it was kind of like, you know, a season that was already kind of fluky in the way that it proceeded anyways. So it was like, all right, yeah, I guess giving a wide receiver for Heisman this year would make sense, since this is one of the weirder seasons we've seen. Some teams playing 10 games, some teams playing 6 games, nobody really standing out. But
yeah, that was just the participation award kind of year. Like, yeah, we're just playing to have fun at this point.
Well, and then, like, you know, if we look at the Heisman year by year, I mean, who was the last non-quarterback outside of Devontae Smith to win it? Was it Mark Ingram?
Was it Mark Ingram?
In what, 2014 or something like that? I'm going through the list right now. Was it Derrick Henry?
I was going to say, I knew there was another running back that got it, but
yeah, Derrick Henry, 2015.
And before that, it was Reggie Bush, I think, was the last running back before.
God,
yeah.
I am I am losing it. Mark Ingram won it in 2009. Dear God.
He was so cold, though.
That's how long ago that was. Marcus won it in 2014, excuse me.
You know, it's funny, just looking back at some of those, you know, Heismans that, I'm getting up there in age, guys, but, you know, I remember Carson Palmer winning it, you know, and I remember Joey Harrington being, you know, up for the Heisman that year, and I think he lost to from Nebraska. He ended up becoming a receiver.
Eric Crouch
is who won that year, but he was nice, you know. So, yeah, man, I can think back at some of those great Heismans. I'm getting old, Joe.
Jason White. Remember Jason Oklahoma. White, 2003?
Yeah.
How about a little bit, 2006, Troy Smith, Ohio State.
Ohio State. He was nice, too.
Give me some of that. Yeah, I would say that's kind of the Carson Palmer, 2002. I mean, that is when I was, to date everybody out there listening, 10 years old. And that's about around the time that I started watching college football and remembering some of the stuff that was happening. But yeah, Jason White, 2003, he went undrafted. I'm looking at.
And it's crazy because winning the Heisman does not guarantee NFL success.
That you're good, but my God, at least he is, besides Charlie Ward, and I'm scrolling more and more, the only other like undrafted Heisman winner that I see on this list.
And Charlie Ward played in the NBA.
Oh, I can't forget 1958, you know, Pete Dawkins of the Army. He went undrafted as well.
We forget Charlie Ward got into a fight with Kobe and beat him up. Do you remember that?
No.
Yeah, what? Look that up, forgot man. Charlie that. Ward not knocked him out, but, you know, put hands on Kobe in New York. Or was it in L.A.? I can't remember where it was. Yeah.
For what?
I don't know. They were talking ass to each other back and forth on the court, and Charlie pieced Kobe.
Oh, just playing some pickup ball?
No, they were in. It's a game. Look it up. It was an NBA game.
Charlie Ward played in the NFL?
No, in the NBA.
Or in the NBA?
He did. He was the New York Knick for a very long time.
Oh, I have no idea.
Two sports star
was
there.
Was very good, actually, too. Charlie Ward was nice, man.
I actually had to call him, like, random when he was, like, a high school football coach for an interview to talk about his Heisman status. And he was not very fun to talk to, I'll tell you that.
How about that? I had no idea. 6.3 points per game in Charlie his career. Ward. How about that?
Yeah. So even if you do get drafted, like, it doesn't guarantee that you've been good. RG3 had that one really good year.
And then his knee blew up.
And then everything kind of went downhill. You know, Cam Newton is probably, of the recent Heisman winners, probably the most successful.
And one of the more weird Heisman speech moments when he was talking to his mom and, like, thank you for, you know, taking care of me ever since I was in your womb.
Yeah. Like, Cam's got a little.
That's a choice of a line.
He's got a little Jameis in him. If you listen to Cam Newton talk sometime, he's got some Jameis in him. I think that's why he likes him a little bit.
So Dion is the coach of the Heisman winner. We know his story about going from Jackson State to the college ranks, the FBS ranks, rather. And there is another coach, at least with some NFL experience, that's going to be joining the FBS ranks that we found out this week.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that, man.
Your boy.
I'm a man.
That's so crazy.
That's real. It's a really weird job. But yeah. Okay, cool.
We get to that next here on Football Sunday. But first, Jordan Schultz, now you can hit that SportsCenter update.
Oh, I think.
So, Rashad, during the commercial break, we were talking about Dion, and he says, you know, would you be surprised if he took an NFL gig? And I was like, you know, nothing in sports really surprises me anymore. It's that crazy. And, you know, and he's like, what's the last thing that truly surprised you in sports? And I had to think about it a little bit. I'm like, well, actually, it was probably this week when Bill Belichick took the job at North Carolina.
Not the Panthers. North Carolina Tar Heels.
Yeah, not Charlotte. Yeah, not the Carolina Panthers.
Chapel Hill.
Chapel Bill.
Yeah, Chapel Bill, that's what they're calling him now. It was funny when the news broke, I leaned over to other sales extraordinaire Kurt Ludwig and told him, and he just couldn't believe it. He was like, "No, he didn't."
I'm so confused.
No, he didn't. And I was like, yes, he did. And he had to Google it. He would not believe me. He did not trust my sources.
No, I think it feels like a prank or something like that. Like, this doesn't seem like it fits. I could be wrong, but yeah, Bill Belichick soup. You see Nick Saban had to sit his old ass down because he was like, yeah, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. Like, I think, you know,
wait, other teams can pay for players now. I'm out of here.
Yeah. I don't want to do any of this stuff. So Bill is going to be negotiating terms with kids.
And parents.
Like, that's okay.
Bill comes from that world as opposed to Nick Saban was the only guy that got money. You know, my players don't get paid unless it's under the table, and I'm okay with getting paid. But it's like, it's the Dabo Sweeney.
Bill's also incredibly frugal with, you know, paying people and stuff like that.
They gave a murderer $40 million. I absolutely beg to differ that they were frugal with paying people.
He was killing, man. That was only a couple times. There's not a lot of guys that got paid from New England. I mean, you seriously count the number.
He's killing secondaries.
Well, but didn't Tom Brady make less money because they were paying other people? Like, I'm going to push back on that narrative a little bit.
I'm saying because they wanted to pay other people to keep them there. So it's not like he was, you know, if Brady should have been the highest paid player, but was never, because, and that's what I'm saying, like, going out and getting receivers and paying for running backs and paying for, that's not something Bill Belichick was ever, and as a Patriots fan, pisses you off because it's like, man, go get them. It's not the Patriot way. So I'm curious of what kind of environment he's going to create, you know, in Chapel Hill with these young kids. I don't know. And how long is this going to take? And how long does Bill Belichick have, like, in that regard as far as coaching?
I do have contract details here. I have poured through the details myself, page by page of this contract. 5 years of the deal with North Carolina, $10 million per year.
Initially reported as three, so it was pretty strange. When then you, oh my God, it's five.
Probably an option after three.
Here's the caveat.
There's a big caveat.
5 year deal, and the first 3 years are guaranteed.
There you go.
And did you see the buyout? I know. I'm sure you're going to get to this in all the details.
You know, that is the page I might have missed.
Then I'll add it really quickly in for you. So before June of this coming year, 2025, the buyout is around $10 million. After that, it falls to $1 million.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, interesting point to that contract. So he can get out of it for $1 million after June.
Here's the page. I found the page there. There it is. Yes. Reduced to $1 million after June 1st of 2025, opening the door for an early and easy financial exit back to the NFL.
And enough for one recruiting, a couple full recruiting classes, right? So you get 3 years of being able to get the guys you need to be able to build your program. First year, it's probably going to struggle because you're going to have a bunch of kids that you didn't recruit that haven't been,
you can play,
you know,
for
as
me
good.
If you want. I don't
care. That's good, man. Yeah. So you'll have a couple years of that, but after year three and you're still, you know, 4-7, then you probably won't be there for very long. So that's a nice exit for both parties, I think.
Well, I know, and one of the negotiation terms for this deal or something was that he would bring over his son and he would be the coach in waiting, essentially. So I don't know if UNC was like, yeah, that's not happening, or if that's something they're moving forward with, but I guess only time will tell there.
Well, the buyout for Steve Belichick after January 1 becomes nothing, as opposed to before the
for
end
Steve?
Of the year. Yes, for Steve. So Washington has a $1.2 million buyout with Steve in his contract, but after January 1st, that buyout drops to zero. So I'm assuming, just reading the tea leaves, this is going to be, you know, the cleanest of breaks, and Jed Fish is a really good Bill Belichick buddy. So yeah, this will be a very nice transition between two programs. Steve will not have to pay any money. Washington's probably going to get one of Bill Belichick's cronies to, you know, if he doesn't make a inside promotion for the defensive coordinator job, and all parties will be happy.
Well, this doesn't sound as fun at all.
Bill Belichick and the ACC sounds really, really weird.
It's going to be very weird seeing him on that
really
sideline
weird,
wearing
you know,
anything other
wearing
but
a cut off North
Patriots,
Carolina
yeah.
hoodie.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw this. I don't know if it was the AD or the president or I don't know one of the dudes at North Carolina. He put on a blazer, a suit jacket at the press conference with the sleeves cut off.
Yep. Did he cut them off at the presser? Because that dad probably wasn't shown on camera.
I just saw him sitting down and shaking hands with the cut-off sleeve blazer. So hopefully he got that at like Goodwill or something.
But usually
like that.
When we cut our sleeves, there's still some ridges there. Like you can tell we did it. Like Bella, somebody in wardrobe is doing that for him because it's the cleanest cuts all time. Like you can tell he didn't do that by himself, man. So they should just start selling those shirts, and I guarantee people start buying them.
Well, North Carolina, best of luck to you. You know, talking about this when it happened, I popped into the studio to talk with Danny and Dusty about it. It's like, you know, it might not be a tough transition just because of college football and where it is today. Again, with NIL negotiating with players more than ever about what they can get out of coming to your school, I think this is going to be a transfer heavy team. And as far as like going to high school recruits and going to their house, like he ain't going to do any of that. He might come in at the end and do some closing. That's what Dusty was saying, which totally makes sense. It's like, yeah, I can see that. Like, you know, once you have the assistants come in and talk to the parents and the family and the kids on the ropes and North Carolina is one of his final three or five teams, then you bring in Bill wearing all six of his Super Bowl rings with his hot girlfriend. So
I think the main thing is
I hear you want to come to our school
is going to be Bill getting those kids who North Carolina or who weren't thinking about North Carolina. You know, the kids that all of a sudden now that Bill Belichick, I mean, his name, if you thought Deion had cachet, you know, just as a player, like Bill Belichick coaching the greatest quarterback of all time and having six Super Bowl rings, like you mentioned, Joe. I don't know if that doesn't scream cachet. If you thought Nick Saban had it. You know, like wait until you see what Bill Belichick is going to be able to do once he says, you know, I can get you to the NFL. I know what NFL quarterback or what they're looking for an NFL quarterback or running back or you know, what he does in defense.
I know people in the league. Okay.
Yeah. And I can get you. And
I can help you out.
I can imagine he's still relatively powerful in the NFL, like in some regards. So
look at my girlfriend. You want some of that, don't you?
Do you want to be my girl?
You like that, don't you?
Very good Belichick impression, actually.
Joking. Doesn't take a whole lot. Yeah. Just literally have to sound like you do not care about anything. Yeah. Well, at North Carolina, it's not going to be their only taste of New England. They actually get a little taste of New England coming up here soon. A little wasabi taste of New England.
Get some lobster roll action?
Do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
I do not.
Well, that is the Wasabi Fenway Bowl. That is happening on December 28th between UConn and North Carolina.
Wait, the what?
Wow.
Wasabi Fenway Bowl.
Like the Wasabi sponsor? I didn't know Wasabi was a company.
Well, I mean, it's a plant. Like that. It's
I know that, but like avocados from Mexico is like a company.
Oh, I get it. Yeah.
I didn't know Wasabi itself was like.
It's literally just Wasabi.
LLC.
Just Wasabi. I mean, I don't know if that is. Like Wasabi, is there a larger company behind that? Is it just?
Oh, it's Wasabi Technologies.
Is that what it is?
That is what it is. That's... I've never heard of Wasabi Technologies.
Just like this Bill Belichick thing. That's not nearly as fun either. I like the idea of a bowl just simply being sponsored by the Wasabi plant.
Wasabi Technologies Cloud Storage done right.
That's lame.
That's awful.
That's like the chicken of the sea of wasabi, like, companies.
That's lame.
My God.
Come on. Are they from Boston? That's my only question.
That's a good question. Let's see. They launched in Boston, Massachusetts. Yes.
There you go.
I almost said it on the air.
Well, that's not nearly as fun as it being sponsored by the literal wasabi plant. And, you know, also wasabi can go right to hell, too.
You don't like wasabi?
No.
You don't like
sushi?
It's
pretty good. Mixed in with some soy sauce.
No. I've done that actually a few times. I've given that more chances than normal. Like, usually I'll give a food a chance. If I don't like it, I'm like, nah, I'm good. But every time I get sushi, I'm like, oh, maybe I messed up the first time and did too much or did too little. And I'll mix it with the soy sauce and dip my roll in there. And I'm like, oh, yeah, no, this is just as bad as it was before.
Not a horseradish fan?
No. No, I'm out on that too. Yeah. The nice. Spice and the bite of it. Nah. I'm
yeah, good. Nice steak or prime rib with some horseradish. Yeah. No,
I'll just take the prime rib. I don't need a horseradish.
Yeah, let's go get some wasabi hot storage.
So, does this mean bowl season is dead? I mean, with sponsors like Wasabi and Fenway Bowl and the playoff, and I'm curious because I feel like we are now officially jumped the shark as far as bowl season.
Oh, but yeah,
we got the Pop-Tart Bowl still.
It's not a. I don't. There was a time to where we had bowl games and we had, you know, parties and everything like that. Things were lined up for it because get a couple games in a day and stuff like that. There's not one. I'm scrolling through the names of these bowls and I'm like, and I don't want to see any of this stuff. I think, you know, the playoff is the, you know, video killed the radio star. Now everybody's right. Focused on the playoff.
Well, let's get to this a little bit more. We're up against it, so we'll talk about this in the next segment. Is bowl season officially dead? Do we care? Is there something that we need to do to revive bowl season in any way, or is it just background noise? We get to that next year. Football Sunday, 1080. Unfortunately, this bowl season, they have not added the Bourbon Bowl just yet, or better known as the Bourbon Bowl.
Well, they absolutely should, because these other games, we're as jumping. The kids would say, are ass.
Is that what the kids say, or has people just been saying that for years?
No, most of the kids say, really, if you're in your...
Cheeks? I like that one.
Yeah, cheeks, that's seriously. If you're in your 40s saying cheeks, late 30s, like, come on, man. And at least if you're using them in that
bowl sponsor is Beta.
I want to see the Ducks.
Totally not Sigma. Is that what the other kids are saying?
You think the Ducks could beat the SC-LSU Mud Dogs?
Ooh, as long as Bobby Boucher shows up at halftime.
He knocked Dylan Gabriel out. He knocked Dante Moore, Austin.
Sound like a big 2-2 train.
Man, I could see Bobby Boucher having a great game against this, you know, Oregon offensive line.
Have to throw Kobe Savage in at quarterback, man. Good Lord.
I never said she was the devil.
By the way, bowl season did officially kick off yesterday with the Cricket Celebration Bowl.
See?
It did.
HBCUs.
See?
My Florida A&M Rattlers, unfortunately, were not a part of that. One of the cooler logos in all of college football, I will say.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
The snake?
Yeah, and it's pretty cool.
I told you about how I was, like, very much considering, because they at the employee store, they had a bunch of HBCU stuff there, like, last year, the year before. And I was like, that's a really cool sweatshirt. I was like, Florida A&M, who's that? And I looked it up. And I was like, oh, that's an HBCU school? I was like, yeah, I can't wear that.
Why?
I don't think I get the pass. I don't get the HBCU pass.
Yes, man, your name would be Joseph Devontae Fisher, if you went ahead and got some HBCU stuff, you'd get a huge pass, and we would, yeah, we're okay with it as long as you don't start throwing up, you know, black college and black fraternity like hand signals and stuff like that. Like, you're all good. That'll get you hurt, but other than that, yeah, you can definitely support.
So I mean, is there any at this point? Do we just need to accept what bowl season is, and it's just kind of like your background Netflix show during the holiday season?
Like, yeah, I don't even know if it's that anymore. Like, I mean, you have to...
Besides the playoff games, are we really getting up for any of these?
No, unfortunately. Like, there's a part of me that wishes that the playoff games were just playoff games and not these traditional bowl games that we're used to seeing. Because there are teams, you know, 13 through 25 that are still very good football teams with one and two losses that those could have been... good bowl games, and at least because I think standing alone, the playoff game, we're going to watch those anyway, like regardless of it being the Sugar Bowl or the, you know, we're going to watch those anyway.
Well, like that, you mentioned it, the two teams who just missed out on the playoffs, let's go Alabama and Miami. Alabama is playing in the ReliaQuest Bowl.
The what?
ReliaQuest.
Exactly.
That's what
I said. Let's get that Reliable Quest, whatever it's called, ReliaQuest Bowl. Let's get that championship. Whatever that means.
And then Miami and Iowa State, two of the teams that missed out on the playoff, they're playing in, as mentioned in the last segment, the Pop-Tarts Bowl. The story tradition of the Pop-Tarts Bowl.
Was pretty cool. It didn't start till like last year, but the Pop-Tart popping up out of the toaster.
Yeah, the coolest thing about the bowl game is something that does not have to do anything with the game itself.
Same with the Duke's Mayo Bowl.
Yes, the coach getting dunked in the with the tub of mayo over his head.
Will Levis basically drinking it as well.
He loves it.
So I don't know. I guess there's the local, like, hey, Wazoo's playing in a bowl game, so I guess we should care, right? They're playing in the Holiday Bowl. I guess there is a couple games that still have some sort of quote unquote, I don't know if prestige is the right word, or just like, again, if there's a local angle, sure, we care. But I don't know. I think this is just background noise. If you like to gamble, if you like to, you know, just have football on the screen with no care or implications about any of this, then again, I think we just have to accept what it is at this point. Like, and it's just an exhibition games, and that's what they are. And there's no reason to really care or get up for them.
And that's the dumb thing. Not the dumb thing. Yeah, no, I'm going to say it. It's the dumb thing, because they've essentially taken all the bowl games away, all the significant bowl games, and more than that, bowl game trophies that you get. Because these things still mean something for a team that's not going to the national championship.
Giant golden Pop-Tart or Cheez-It.
I mean, that nobody wants a giant Cheez-It. However, I would like the Fiesta Bowl trophy. I would like a Rose Bowl trophy.
Well, and you know,
would like a Sugar Bowl trophy and six bowl games. There's going to be a couple teams that are going to win a Rose Bowl and potentially an Orange Bowl or a Cotton Bowl, you know, in between there. So you're going to get two amazing bowl wins in the same year in a national championship.
Roses and oranges.
That's insane. The Ducks could potentially win the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, and then go on to win the national championship. So they've essentially won three of the biggest championships that you can win in a year.
When they go and win.
No, I'm knocking on wood, because we're the state of Oregon, and we've been disappointed before.
Y'all don't say that.
They don't say that. But that's what I'm saying. So I would love to have seen, and not saying Alabama, but the 13 and 14 team be able to play for the Rose Bowl, or a team be able to play for the Fiesta Bowl or something like that. I think these games, the playoff games, are big enough on their own to where they don't need to be major bowl games. Well, and if they were, make this the ReliaQuest Bowl, or make these the Chick-fil-A Bowl or whatever. Like, those games don't have to be that. And so, I don't know. It's a little strange.
Oh, so you're saying make the playoff games
the Las Vegas Bowl quarterfinal games.
Make them the random bowl games that essentially don't have any prestige. Because
we're going to watch those anyway, right? You need to watch those. But I would still watch the Rose Bowl if it was Alabama and
Miami.
There you go. That's a Rose Bowl that I could get behind and watch that. That's still going to be a good game, right? Still get to see UNLV against whoever in the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah, okay. I just know that there's the college football purists out there that would say, like, wait, you're letting the third, fourth place team in a conference play in the Rose Bowl? They didn't earn that.
I'm just saying, like, it's
that's not what it used to be. Where's the tradition?
Yeah, for the first time,
well, there were
playoff,
four bowl like, games back then. Like, yeah, shut yeah. up.
Well, there probably should be, like, you know, 14 bowl games total.
Just think about it. Somebody's going to walk away with two of the most prestigious bowl game titles in football and a national championship. That's going to happen for whomever wins.
Sorry, I just saw this bowl game. The Game Above Sports Bowl.
Cool, man.
Wow, they really workshopped that one.
Yeah, right.
What do we call it? Just call it the Sports Bowl.
Yeah.
That
meeting didn't take long at all.
The Rate Bowl. Rate, R-A-T-E, Rate.
What is Rate? The name of the company is just Rate.
It's not the Raid Bowl, but the Rate Bowl?
Rate.
Hell are we doing? We just thought it was a wasabi like food bowl. And
I'm still very upset that it's not actually just sponsored after the wasabi plant and the wasabi.
Brought to you by the letter O.
What are some other ridiculous bowl? The military bowl has been one for a while. I just appreciate that the sponsor is simply Go Bowling. So I guess, like, just the Bowling Commission of America just wants people to go out and just, you know, bowl more. Go to the bowling alleys more.
That couldn't sponsor the Oregon's game versus Ohio State or whomever?
I will say that the ridiculousness of bowl sponsors has led to some great things. Quite simply this year, the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl.
That's a weird one.
That's going to be fun.
In Tucson.
That's going to be fun. Oh, Snoop in Tucson?
On the CW network.
I'm there.
Between Miami, Ohio, and Colorado State. That mark that on the calendar. That might be my favorite bowl game of the season.
See, usually you're supposed to pay for a sponsorship for a bowl, but I still feel like somehow he will be getting paid for this, and
Snoop gets a check.
No, I'm up for people getting paid, but Usually it's the bowl committees that are supposed to be the ones benefiting
here. The bowl committees are smoking what Snoop is smoking because, again, like, you're giving away, you know, you're not making as much money, for in my opinion, as you could be by putting these bowl games where they are in the playoffs.
I also find it funny that the bowl sponsored by Snoop Dogg is being played in Tucson on the CW between Miami, Ohio, and Colorado State. Like,
why would he have the LA Bowl?
Yeah, there you go. That's good. That was brought to you by Gronk last year.
Which, again, Gronk screams like LA fun, everything like that. Okay, that makes sense.
And bowl season, while there will be the playoff bowl games, the bowl games that don't matter, essentially, capped off with my favorite bowl game, the Bahamas Bowl.
If there's any bowl game that you actually would probably want to go play in and want to be able to escape to for, you know, 3, 4 days, 5 days, probably the Bahamas.
Vegas Bowl, Bahamas Bowl, the Hawaii Bowl back in the day was a good one.
If you haven't heard of the stories that come out of the Bahamas Bowl and how just, like, lax and how nobody cares down there, it is just, it's fantastic.
Well, that's where Fire Festival happened, supposedly. So
Fire Fest.
It can go really, thank you, Fire Fest. It can go really, really good or really bad down there.
All right, hour number two coming up. Let's jump on over to the professional league, the NFL. We might have a new most embarrassing moment of the NFL season. Week 15 games with playoff implications. Good slate of games today. A lot of good games. And then we got Who Do You Love in the back half of the second hour, and then wrap this baby up. But like I said, we might have a new most embarrassing moment of the NFL season. We'll get to that next. Hour number two, Football Sunday, 1080 The Fan.